Good morning and welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. As we enter this spirit of prayer, I invite you to remain seated for our first song.
Like the yeast, together they come, sprouting with golden leaves, then forming a living community, shaking dirt from underneath. They've started the process of sharing abundance. For why keep it to oneself?
We all need care. The feeding of a neighbor, the watering of a tree, we are parting the weeds, searching for hope in between. A shout in the dark, a bark through trees, I hope my ear is the one it will reach, my hand being the one to lead.
They come together as bread does butter, a connection so strong as babe to mother, mixing earth with water, their hand squelches, searching for anything to save them from the slaughter. Who will answer the call?
I dip my hand into flour, gentle but not coward. Hands pressed together, I try to shape the life in front of me into a living community that shares its riches to all in need, for who is a seed without its leaves?
Under the rays of the sun, they begin to grow and rise, hoping to see eye to eye, breaking the soft form they bore, the scent filling the air, the crackle of the crust. I hold my ear closer and listen to the whisper of wind rustling feathers of grain. When will it finally come to me?
Foreign giving I can finally see, to focus on the ones in need, sharing veggies, breaking bread, as for the elderly and the meek, for his riches are not for me.
Good morning. Thank you to our music team. Beautiful gift as we begin. So I am not Pastor Linda Duhirsu or Pastor Matt Smith, although you probably already figured that out. And in a minute, Derek will tell you what they are up to today. So I am Linda Losberg-Zahl, and I am delighted to be with you. To welcome you to the table, both those who are present and those online. It is a gift to share this worship together. So take a moment and take a deep breath. You've had to walk outside to come in. So just imagine, was there a moment today or in the past, a moment of beauty that captured your heart? Hold that image in you as we sing about the beauty of the earth. I invite you to stand if you are comfortable or able as we sing. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you so much to our music team. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Derek Kirk, and I have the privilege of serving as the lay leader this year for our community. Before I get too deep into our announcements, I just want to reflect back on the beautiful poem that was crafted and read by two of our Farm and Bread Fellows, Kelsey and Lily. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. That was really beautiful. So as Linda mentioned, Pastor Matt has just begun a month-long renewal leave, and Pastor Linda is away this morning recovering from COVID. Never to fear, though, as Linda mentioned, we're so grateful to be led in worship this morning by Chloe and Reverend Linda Lossberg-Zahl. Chloe is our community's cultivator for a sustainable future, and she leads our ministries both at Table Farm and what will soon become Table Bread, and also shares incredible poetry with us most every week here in worship. Reverend Linda Lossberg-Zahl is a retired United Methodist pastor and part of our community of faith here at the table. Welcome, Linda, and thanks both of you for your leadership this morning and willing to stand in for our pastors here. As you may have seen in our weekly email on Friday, we are also really thrilled to announce that Sarneet Prasad is joining our ministry as our new Sunday morning coordinator and administrative liaison. He is shyly standing in the back behind the wall there. Sarneet is here with us this morning, and we encourage those worshiping in person to connect with him after worship, though I imagine he has probably already connected with many of you, given his glowing personality. And for those of you that are worshiping online, I encourage you, if you find yourself in our community, present here in our community on a Sunday, you can reach out to Sarneet via email as well. Sarneet, welcome. We're so thrilled to have you. Sarneet is also joined in support of the hospitality team this morning by one of our Farm and Bread Fellows, Jackson. So Jackson, thank you for being willing to participate on our hospitality team this morning. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday mornings. For those of us gathering online at thetable.live, Bob Lossberg-Zahl, and yes, there you can start to put the two and two together along the way here. We've roped in as much support as we can this morning. Bob is with you as your host this morning. Please message him in the chat if you have any questions. Bob is also a member of the administrative board here at the table. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith or just simply stay in touch, you can text the word new to the number on the screen. If you'd like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice our faith at the table, our co-pastors will lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith. It's the first series that will be in person in over 2 years, and that will take place starting September 13th. Registration is open on the table website. My wife and I participated in the very first series that was virtual in 2020, and so this is a bit surreal to me to see an in-person registration popping up. Today's bulletin is available with the QR codes via the QR codes in the sanctuary on the end of the pews, and a link will be shared for those online. We always encourage you to visit our website, thetableumc.org, where you'll find a Connect pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner, and you can stay connected with our pastors, Chloe, and other members of the team here at the table. We invite you to remain seated as we continue in worship. Kara Tupi is part of our community of faith, and she has written an original piece of music, which our music team will share for us this morning. Kara wrote this song, which is called Tell Me Your Story, after spending time with our Farm and Bread Fellows this summer. And two of our fellows, Kevin and Amelia, will be joining our music team, both on vocals and on trumpet. We are grateful for the many gifted people in our community, especially on days like today, when the people we often see standing in front and greeting all of us are not present. We appreciate all of you who are helping to shape our life together and connecting with us in our abundant love of God through art and song. This is our music team sharing Tell Me Your Story.
so many gifts. Thank you. Beautiful. Speaking of stories, our young friends have a story waiting for you, so we want to invite you to move now to the back of the sanctuary. We'll have a little walking music to help us with that. Amy will be leading our children out to the play yard out here for a story, for art. There's some wild walking here, for time to play. I hear there may be popsicles involved. Speaking of popsicles, I know that sounds really good today, doesn't it? But those of us who are not quite as young, you're invited to stay because there are good things happening here as well. So let's start with a story this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. As it's recorded in the First Nations version, it's the indigenous translation of the New Testament. Someone from the crowd pushed forward and said to him, "Wisdom keeper, tell my brother to give me my part of what our father left us." Creator sets free, Jesus, said to him, "Who made me the one to decide this between you and your brother? Watch your step, or greed will make you stumble. Remember, one's life is not made up of many possessions." There were many people in the crowd who heard what he had said about the possessions, so he told this story to help them see more clearly. A man with many possessions had a field that was growing a great harvest of food. "What will I do with this food?" he said to himself. "I have no room in the barn for all this great harvest." He thought a minute about it and then said to himself again, "I know what I'll do. I will tear down the old barn and my storage barn, and I will build a larger one. I will have enough to set me for many winters, and then I will take my rest, drink, and celebrate." But the Great Spirit said to him, "Why are you being so foolish? This is the day you cross over to death and give an answer for your life. Now, who will get the goods you have made and stored up for yourself?" Creator sets free, Jesus let the people think about the story, and then he said, "This is how it will be for the one who makes themselves rich, but forgets about the Creator's true riches." Amen.
As the musicians step down, I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. God, this morning, may we come to recognize and see your abundance a little bit more fully, the abundance that is already here around us and within us. Amen. 6 weeks ago, seven high school students began gathering at Table Farm, forming our first ever cohort of Farm and Bread Fellows. Funded by grants from SMUD and the Committee on New and Vital Congregations from the United Methodist Church, as well as by all of you, a generous commitment from this community to Table Farm and Table Bread, the Farm and Bread Fellowship sought to empower young people in sustainable agriculture, bread baking, community building, and spiritual reflection with the hope of nurturing young people's innate leadership, the skills that are already there, and resilience in the face of climate change. These young people, coming from six different high schools, arrived with unique interests and questions. Some had gardened with family members or at school. Some were curious about baking or had noticed something special about being in the kitchen with loved ones. Some of them had experienced food insecurity. Many of them found hope when witnessing kindness and believed in the power of working together. We gathered 5 days over the course of each week. We rooted our shared life in God's grace at work in the transformation of compost, the farm's life cycle, and the mystery of sourdough starter, which you can see going on right here. We grew in our relationship with ourselves and with the earth, planting seeds, watching sunflowers sprout and grow, trellising or supporting so many tomato plants, learning from farmers and chefs and artists, and reflecting on our weeks each Saturday afternoon under the oak tree. We reached in love, harvesting veggies, bundling flowers, and meeting our neighbors both at the farm and at the South Sac Interfaith Partnership Food Closet each week. And we ate a lot of food, because feasting together often allows community to happen when you break bread with one another. One evening, Matthew Ampersand came to eat with us. Matthew takes following his heart's longings seriously, and it was clear from our conversations before he arrived that night that he was most excited about inviting these young people to do the same. Matthew's heart is innately curious. It prompted him to study philosophy before diving into the life of music venues and festivals. He created a traveling circus with friends, because why not? And let me tell you, most of the fellows' Q&A time afterwards was dedicated to asking about his circus tricks in detail. And we found out that they involved butter knives and noses and nails and other things. Then, after a handful of years working at San Francisco's Exploratorium, Matthew felt clear that he wanted to create a business that cares deeply about food, ecology, and learning. So he moved to South Oak Park, and he started Find Out Farms, which he describes as a scrappy little project that is determined to make a positive change in the world around us. Matthew spends most of his days collecting compost, food scraps from neighbors to make compost, and also gleaning fruit trees across Sacramento. On their website, Find Out Farms states that it is committed to small-scale regenerative agriculture, based on the belief that creating an environment in which healthy plants and animals can thrive while creating an abundance of food for the community is paramount. The goal is life for all, life abundant. Matthew touched on something eternal that night. Martin Luther King Jr. once claimed that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. In the same spirit, Matthew reminded us that all of creation is bent towards abundance. He asked us to wonder about a seed. How many tomato plants does one tomato seed make? He asked. One, someone guessed. He nodded, but asked us to keep imagining. How many tomatoes would fruit on that tomato plant's laden branches? And then how many seeds are there in each tomato? He knew some of these numbers, which was beyond me. So could it be that one seed has the potential to create more plants than we could even guess? That one seed could make a whole field alive with tomatoes' sweet red fruit? In our tradition, this points to what we hold to be true about God. We are the embodied dreams of an abundant God. The word abundant can be traced to the word abound, which can be broken down into something like from a wave or from a surge. In Latin, abundare means to overflow. Abundance is an overflowing. And if creation, that's us, and everything else is in all of its glorious diversity and overflowing of God's love, then we are abundance. We are the overflowing of love. Scholar and theologian Walter Brueggemann says it something like this. The Bible starts out with a liturgy of abundance. Genesis 1 is a song of praise for God's generosity. It tells how well the world is ordered. It keeps saying, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is very good. It declares that God blesses, that it endows with vitality the plants and the animals and the fish and the birds and humankind. And it pictures the Creator as saying, be fruitful and multiply. In an orgy of fruitfulness, everything is its kind is to multiply the overflowing goodness that pours from God's Creator's Spirit. And as you know, the creation ends in Sabbath. God is so overrun with fruitfulness that God says, I got to take a break from all this. I got to get out of the office. Two things to notice in this liturgy of abundance. First, I believe it's important to note that fruitfulness is good and it is diverse. Not only is God's creation diverse, but also the ways we are fruitful, the ways we participate in the overflowing of goodness of God's Creator's Spirit is diverse. Some of us fly in the air. Some of us swim in the sea. Some of us literally give birth. Some of us figuratively give birth to ideas, to ways of gathering, to hope. It is all good. Second, from the beginning, God's abundance is always partnered with rest. This is important. It's different from the ceaseless type of growth that is often promoted in westernized economies. In contrast, it is the abundance patterned by the seasons. New life, harvest, feeding, dying, new life. Author Fred Bahnsen speaks to the liturgy of abundance in another way in his book, Soil and Sacrament, a spiritual memoir of food and faith. Bahnsen visits the Lord's Acre in Fairview, North Carolina, now called Root Cause Farm, and spends time with the then garden manager and executive director, Susan Sides. He writes, sometimes at night, she, Sides, is awoken with the need to talk with God. And once, after struggling for weeks with a vision for what the Lord's Acre might become and being frustrated by not getting anywhere, she was suddenly overwhelmed by a love so beyond her yet so immediate and personal that it left her reeling. I wonder if this is what the Trinity is like, she wrote during one of those nighttime visions. A love so uncontainable that it must boil over into creation, into visible matter. Is this how the universe was born? Love spilling over into life? Jesus often spoke of God's abundance, longing, in fact, for us to experience life abundantly. In today's reading assigned to the global church, Jesus tells us a story, saying, a man with many possessions had a field that was growing a great harvest of food. This man was confronted with abundance. I imagine that the field was experiencing health and well-being, that its ecosystem was thriving. Its pollinators were well-fed, and the animals trotting over the soil were fertilizing it to bring forth more food than the man had fathomed. This was good. So what will he do in the face of abundance? The parable follows the man's inner process, the choice he receives in the face of abundance, and his response to that abundance. He decides to store the excess for a rainy day, for a season when his crops fail. He'll be able to relax. He'll eat, drink, and celebrate. Aside from hearing that this parable is prompted by a person in the crowd surrounding Jesus, likely a younger brother, who wanted Jesus to advocate for him to receive a larger inheritance, little is known about the man in the parable beyond his wealth. Who were the people planting and harvesting? Who was this man responsible for? One commentary states, there is nothing here of graft or theft. There is no mistreatment of workers or any criminal act. Sun, soil, and rain join to make him, the rich man, wealthy. He is careful and conservative. If he's not unjust, then what is he? This commentary considers the man's actions as reasonable, prudent even. In another commentary, Naveen Siraj does not see the rich man's actions as benign or separate from his community. Siraj suggests that the man's hoarding of surplus actually inflates grain prices, harming his neighbors. His greed creates the type of inflation we all may be too familiar with right now. It feels important to know more about the rich man's motivation in order to understand exactly what Jesus is trying to convey when he calls the rich man foolish, which could mean imprudent or irresponsible. Humans have rhythms of gathering and storing, traditionally seen in the harvest and winter seasons. It helps us endure the ebb and flows of the seasonal cycle. Animals do this too. While I do believe that God cares very deeply about how we are in relationship with our resources, I don't think that's all of what's being called into question here. Rather, I wonder if Jesus is inviting us to tenderly consider the well-being of our hearts. The rich man misses the mark. He misses out on the kingdom of God. When he chooses to pour his energy and resources into building bigger, stronger barns to capture and protect the abundance in front of him, he seems to be working from a spirit of scarcity. He doesn't give thanks. He doesn't celebrate the abundance in community. He doesn't consider community. He doubts that there will be more and that it will be good. And in doing so, he misses out. He misses out on the beauty of worshiping the source of life that brought the abundance into being. He misses out on thanking the animals and people that helped bring that abundance into fruition. He may have a lot to eat, but he misses out on breaking bread in community, on sharing with the most vulnerable. And in doing so, he misses out on really feasting. Remember earlier, eating food is different than feasting on food and community. And in missing all of this, he misses out on the spirit of abundance available to him. He loses something soulful in the process. If God is abundant and we are of abundance, then our souls seem to dance when we move to the rhythm of abundance. I want to be clear about something. We do experience scarcity in this world. Many of you know this on a visceral level. Depending on how we move through the world and what we look like, we may carry the brunt of war, inflation, discrimination. These are caused by a lack of joy, equity, and love. And in an agonizingly slow race to reverse the effects of climate change, we experience a lack of care for our shared future. Looking to the Hebrew scriptures, Brueggemann traces scarcity back to famine in Exodus. He states, so Pharaoh gets organized to administer, control, and monopolize the food supply. Pharaoh introduces the principle of scarcity into the world economy. For the first time in the Bible, someone says, there's not enough. Let's get everything. Like Brueggemann, scientist Robin Wall Kimmerer, author of Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants, and enrolled member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation, sees scarcity at work up to our present, interwoven in the lasting impact of Western colonization and in the structure of our global economy that we're living with now. She claims that the trappings of scarcity many of us endure are not by accident, writing that scarcity survives due not to how much material wealth there actually is, but to the way in which it is exchanged and circulated. The market system artificially creates scarcity by blocking the flow between the source and the consumer. Grain may rot in the warehouse while hungry people starve because they cannot pay for it. The result is famine for some and diseases of excess for others. The very earth that sustains us is being destroyed to fuel injustice. Yes, we experience a very real scarcity. And God does not ask us to ignore that reality and simply be satisfied with what we do have. No. God takes on flesh and comes into the muck and says, I'll be here until the end with you. But at the same time, I think God also says, in the midst of the muck, I want more for you than you can imagine. I want your heart to be overflowing. I want you to know deep in your bones that you are a part of something so much bigger. I want you to experience that every time you eat and drink. I want it to be an act of communion, of community, of remembering that you are part of an overflowing of love. When you do, your soul will sing, and the lack of the world, while real, will not consume you. As Kimmerer puts it, it is not just changes in policies that we need, and we very much need those, but also changes to the heart. Scarcity and plenty are as much qualities of the mind and spirit as they are of the economy. Gratitude plants the seed for abundance. Jesus knows that how we respond to the abundance of God matters. How we nurture our capacity to see goodness around us and within us matters. In a world fueled by scarcity, naming the goodness becomes a spiritual discipline. Participating in abundance becomes our witness, and responding generously becomes a holy act because it reminds us of who we are, agents of abundance in God's divine liturgy. Today, more than ever, this is what it means to be church. Participating in abundance is an inherently communal act. So what could this look like? For Find Out Farms, participating in abundance looks like noticing the fallen fruit at the base of fruit trees across Sacramento and neighbors living in food deserts or food apartheids in South Oak Park. Their website states, our collective urban orchard in the Sacramento area is especially robust, and by diverting otherwise wasted fruit, we are also growing local food resiliency. Participating in abundance for Find Out Farms looks like coming together and harvesting 15,000 pounds of produce this year alone to share with neighbors at monthly free fruit stands. It means living into the truth that together we have more than enough. Our tables overflow. If you have a fruit tree in your yard, I hope that you'll participate with them. At Table Farm, practicing abundance looks like coming together three times a week during community volunteer shifts, sharing freely of our time for the sake of community and for feeding the neighborhood. It looks like getting up close and personal with God's rhythm of abundance as you pull weeds, harvest chard, turn compost, and connect with new neighbors. It means walking down the street to South Sac Interfaith Partnership Food Closet to donate over 1,900 pounds of veggies like tomatoes and squash. Because when life brings us seasons of scarcity, there is still more than enough. In those moments, as in all moments, we are worthy of locally, lovingly grown, nutritious food to nourish and sustain us. I hope you'll consider committing regularly to a community volunteer shift once a month or once a week over the course of the four seasons as one of your spiritual practices. And when all else seems to be unraveling, practicing abundance looks like our community gathering a cohort of teenagers and supporting them so that they can be free to dig in the dirt and feed others for the summer. It's saying to them, you matter. Your dreams matter. It's saying to God, we trust you to take us into the future and we're here to be a part of it. This is our healing. This is our salvation. Amen.
Amen. All she does and preaches to. Thank you for your spirit of abundance, Chloe. Yes. I invite you to take another deep breath and take in that word of inspiration. Jesus invited those around him to tenderly consider the well-being of their hearts by inviting them to wonder about how they would respond in the face of abundance. Like the rich man, we find ourselves too often missing the mark, failing to see the goodness around us and within us. So we pause. We pause each week in worship for what the church calls a prayer of confession. So I invite you to stand as you are willing and able and comfortable as we say with one voice. God of abundance, we are caught in systems that result in famine for some and diseases of excess for others. We neglect your abundance as it is patterned by the seasons. We foolishly pour our energy into a spirit of scarcity, which confines our imaginations. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. This God, whose love is uncontainable, has this word of life for you, for me, for all of us. Friends, God takes flesh and comes into the muck and promises to be here until the end. And at the same time, God wants for you more than you can imagine. God is abundant. You and we, all of us, are of that abundance. Can you imagine? We are the embodied dreams of an abundant God. May our souls dance to the rhythm of abundance, which is here with us until the end. Amen and amen.
Let us join now in the call and response, which has become a way for the church to practice recognizing and celebrating the presence of God's love spilling over into the life of every part of creation around us. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. With you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your beloved Son, the
Let us pray together using the words Jesus taught his disciples. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Gracious God, pour out your spirit on us gathered here and in many places. Pour out your spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts, the body and love of Christ, make us, through them, Christ's body alive in this world. Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. How can it be any other way with that uncontainable love? In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people, and we encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice or whatever you have that is nearby, and to share in the sacred time of breaking bread. If you're with other people, we encourage you to take time to reflect on whatever might be stirring in your hearts by sharing aloud, maybe praying for one another. If you're on your own right now, we know that the Spirit continues to stir within you as well. And we encourage you to use that time to journal whatever might be coming forth within. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination, because we are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all, no exceptions. And by the way, you cannot make a mistake, which is really good news for me today, because I got up earlier, and you know, so anyways, I love that word of grace. For those of you who are in the sanctuary, our communion stewards will guide you. They'll take the bread and the cup outside into the front lawn. And to help us maintain our physical distance and allow this to be an intimate and sacred time, Sarnit will guide us by dismissing each pew, starting in the front on this side, and you'll go out this door. And after breaking off a piece of the bread and dipping it into the juice, please make your way all the way around to the main door, and then you're invited to come in and spend some time at one of these prayer stations if you would like, and stay as long as you desire. Friends, this is the body of Christ, the bread of life, given for you. This is the cup of that uncontainable love poured out for you and for all. Thank you. You're invited to stay wherever you are. Take another moment to continue that prayer. And have you been breathing? I invite you to do that again, deeply, as we pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you reveal yourself to all creation. In this bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. And did I hear an amen?
Amen.
In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also respond by giving generously of ourselves and our financial resources. Many of us have made giving commitments to support our life together at the table. If you'd like to be part of that ministry and making a difference, we invite you to go to the church's website. You might use the offering plates that are, there's a couple here and some in the back, or text to the number that's on your screen. Your generosity makes a difference and helps our community of faith to align ever more deeply with God's wild love for this world. And we thank you, and those whose lives you touch, thank you as well. Our music, phenomenal music team, I should say, will send us out this morning with a song written by Quaker singer and songwriter Carrie Newcomer. I invite you to stand as you are moved, willing, and able, or comfortable, and allow this song to remind us of God's love spilling over into life. This is our music team sharing "A Shovel Is a Prayer."
Shovel is a prayer to the farmer's foot. When he steps down on the soft ground, gives way. A baby is a prayer when it's finally asleep. A whisper, amen, at the end of the day. And a friend is a prayer when they bring over soup. When they laugh at your jokes and they don't ask for proof. It's a song that you sing when you are alone, when you're weary or lonely, that's far from home. For all your searching, there's nothing to do. What you've been looking for is looking for you. I'm a prodigal daughter, you're a dissonant son. We've been washed in rainwater, we're the fortunate ones. On the other side of my night, just before the dawn, you can't feel it coming up when the long night is done. It's a heavy grief, and it's weightless as smoke. It's the dream you forgot, it's the letter you wrote. It's the birds of the morning that song like a hymn. Throw open the window and the light in.
So may you go forward from here, if nothing else, knowing that you are abundance, you are of God's abundance, and may that shape and inform your responses throughout your week. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm a wayfaring stranger, your Indiana Jones. We're Gracie and George, we're Watson and Holmes. The air is filled with angels, there's no devil to be sung. Do the words to the kiss, here's the ground long. It's a collar turned up, a kiss on the forehead, a string and two cans, it's the last thing you said. The hunch that you follow, a light in the dark, an idiot check, it's the balm for your heart. For all your searching, there's nothing to do. What you've been looking for is looking for you.